evening. Shalom.
Shalom.
Is this you and I right now?
Right now, it's just you and I.
Oh, okay.
But let me describe where you'll find the handout if you're looking at the computer.
I am,
Malka.
Has
Good
joined.
Evening.
I am.
Lizette, are you in front of the computer?
Yes, I am. I'm in your spot.
Okay. Then look, go to the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. That's on the Revealed Wisdom link.
Okay.
Has joined.
Scroll down a little, about a half inch, to the, where you see the green and white lines.
Uh-huh.
The first row on the right-hand column is a list of all of the Zohars.
Zohar recordings by Parasha?
Right. Click on that.
Okay. Got it.
Then we're going to be studying in Parasha Vayera, the third one.
Has joined.
Got it. Vayera, got it. Mm-hmm.
When that opens up, go to section 19.
Garden of Eden and Gehenim.
Right. And then scroll down. We're going to be starting at 246. Pasuk 246. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I appreciate you waiting. Lizette has joined us, and she's relatively new. So I was just walking her through where to find the handout. And explaining a little bit that this is a deep Zohar class, which we basically take one verse at a time, and we delve into it relatively deeply based on the questions that people ask. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarifu Ishkinte Bibhilu Urkimu Udhilu Udhilu Urkimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah
Has joined.
Maaseya Deinu Kenanehu Pasuk 246 V'sham Nidonim Shenem Asar Kodesh Le'ahar Kain Madoram imotam shikbilu ansham motam kol echad we echad kfi hamakom haraolo behar shaim shel okom Midonim tamid ba'eshuva ma'im Wishov enam olim Shene'emar v'isham Ikbe The translation. And they are sentenced to stay there for 12 months. Later they reside with those who received their punishment at their death. Each to a place according to what he deserves. The sinners who worship the stars and the constellations are constantly punished by fire and water, and they never emerge again. As it is written, neither shall their fire be quenched. My commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. You'll notice that there is no commentary by Rabbi Ashlag. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Rabbi Ashok has made comments on the last three verses, sure. But especially when it comes to Gehinnom, really the last two pages. 241, for sure.
Yeah, no, but the last two or three, he hasn't done any, unless you have, unless you have it in your book, which is not.
No, it's not in
what
the
I
book.
Hear.
It's the whole chapter so far. He has no comments because there are no capital
right.
letters.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I was commenting on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really, we need to ask the question why he didn't feel the need to comment and expand on these subjects. And you know, one answer for that is that when you're talking about Gehinnom, the people who are not righteous, generally speaking, all of us, because we all make mistakes, we all do sins. The people who are not righteous are essentially, you don't want to play around with Gehinnom. You're not at a level where you can resist the Satan. So the more you think you learn something about this Gehinnom and about the negative system, and you try and defeat it, but you don't have the skills, you don't have the spiritual strength to do so. And so he's not going to comment about it at the level that we're at. But if you're at the level of a righteous person, at the level of the sages, it's important that you do learn about the negative system, because that is how you defeat the upper levels of Satan. Because remember, as you grow spiritually, Satan gains strength as well. It's not that he really gains strength, but he is always being matched to your spiritual level. And at the upper levels of the negative system, meaning the Keter Hachman Bina of the negative system, in order to defeat him, you need the information about the negative system. And that you will gain within your meditations when you are ready. Does anybody have any questions on why it says that the idol worshippers who worship stars and constellations are
well,
never...
You know,
to get out of Gehinnom?
Well, you know,
go ahead, Brandy. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I don't mean to cut you off either. It makes sense, you know, with the old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Exactly.
So
where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes somewhere from Kabbalah, that they just...
It comes from the Zohar. It comes from the Zohar. It's exactly the issue. All of those, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That comes from the Zohar. All of these adages that you know, have been translated into English in ways that we all have heard them for years, but we don't recognize it. We don't know it's coming from the Zohar.
So here you go again, and this is just me, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but isn't God slick? People are learning things from the Zohar and not even knowing that they have learned them, and they have put them to use in their everyday life.
But is that from God or is that from Satan?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what level you're on.
Does anybody want to address the issue of the punishments of fire and water?
Well, I had a question, if I may.
Go ahead. Okay.
So perhaps I'm sure it might be a lengthy answer, but what would be maybe some examples of what would be considered worshiping the stars? Because I don't get up and I don't fire, I don't put.
Western astrology, Vedic astrology, astrology that is not taught within the context of spirituality. Let me give you expand on it because I know you have interest, Lizette.
Yes.
And there are other people listening, and other people who will come onto the recording will have those same interests.
Right.
People, the Torah is filled with astrology. We've seen how when it's used properly, meaning the way I was taught and that the way I teach, it's a useful tool. But it's also a tool that causes us to look to angels. It causes us to look to planets and stars as the cause rather than to Hashem as the cause. And that is the tool that Satan uses to draw us away. He brings forth and says, as I just did, the Torah is filled with astrology. But if you don't understand that it can be a tool of the negative system, it's very easily for you to go astray. As Rabbi Nachman sings in the song, the world is a very narrow bridge. It's very easy to misstep. And the way to avoid missteps is to not look to the astrology until you're ready, or to go to people who are knowledgeable in the astrology. But every time you go to an astrologer who is not connected, there's the risk of it being misled. It's like going to a practicer. It's a bad word. It's not a bad word, but it's a word that's not used, and I forget the proper word. But go to a practitioner of voodoo. It's using the same spiritual system. They just have different names for the planets. They have different names for the stars. They have different names for the angels. But it's a system that's using the same system that Kabbalah uses, the same system that Hashem has created. But the same system is used by the negative system and the practitioners of voodoo and other forms. And it's the same system used by the astrologers, which is called, the book of Daniel, and Tana, I need help. It's I forget the word.
I don't think I know it.
Yeah, it is. You do know it. You just don't recognize it. In the book of Daniel, when it talks about Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, and he called his astrologers and his
necromancers, maybe. Necromancers.
Necromancers. Yes. Which is a system of negative system, and but it works because it's really the same system. But you have to know Satan's tools. You have to know what he does in order to avoid making a misstep.
Okay, when we use the same teacher name.
Anytime you hear a statement, this is the future, you know the person is coming from the negative system.
Did you say every time you... Oh, pardon me.
Let me finish and then you can ask your question.
Yes,
every time you hear someone telling you this is what's going to happen in the future, you are listening to someone who's being fed information from the negative system. Tarot is an example. Tarot cards use the Hebrew letters. It was developed out of Kabbalah. It's a tool of the negative system. They're telling you what's going to happen in the future. That's why people go to tarot readers.
So do runes. They're like the
runes are the same idea. Runes
same
is
idea.
Another tool. Everybody needs a tool to connect to the spiritual system, whether it's a rune or a tarot card or an astrological chart. These are tools to connect to the spiritual system. What that person who's using that tool is going to utilize, how they're going to approach it, what is their spiritual background, and how they have been taught. This is what makes the difference between the positive aspect or the negative aspect. And it's very difficult to know which is which without training from a teacher who is from the positive system. And how do you know a teacher is from the positive system? We read last week or the week before in the Torah about the prophets and how to identify a false prophet. And one of the tools to identify a false prophet, you're going to laugh at this because you've heard it, but it went in one ear and out the other because it's so strange. One way to identify a false prophet is that he prophesies the future and it comes true. That's a false prophet. Not always. That's why it takes a Sanhedrin of 72 people to be able to anoint a prophet, to know what is true and what is not.
So you said to identify a false prophet is in knowing that what he prophesied came true, did become true?
Yes. It doesn't, just because it comes true does not mean he's a positive prophet.
Okay.
I'm thinking of the 72 name coffee, Todd, that we say, rather than using the groggers, our noisemaker at Purim, aren't we not using a positive tool by subjecting that negativity to be the opposite of what the noise would be making?
When I've taught you about Cafe Taf and to use it at Purim, what did I tell you about it? Do you remember? What I said was this energy of Cafe Taf, which is the eighth of the 72 names, Cafe Taf is a laser-like energy that burns the negative system. So, yes, it's positive. But if you don't know that it's a laser-like energy, and if you lived 400 years ago And your teacher told you it's a laser-like energy. Of course, he wouldn't say laser because we hadn't created the word.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 20th century, your education brought you to a level that when I say it's a laser-like energy, you have a sense of what it's doing. And so your consciousness is going to be positive. But if you don't have that kavana, we go back to the four levels, doing the right action at the right time, in the right location, with the right kavana. And if any one of those four is incorrect, you are creating chaos in your life. Which is why we don't drive on Shabbat, as an example. We talked about it briefly yesterday. Why don't you drive on Shabbat? Because it's not the right time to connect to the left column. Because on Shabbat, connecting to the left column creates separation. Why we don't blow the shofar at Pesach? Because it's not the right time. Not the right time means you're connecting to the negative system and you're adding energy to the negative system. Kabbalah teaches you about energy. It teaches you about the spiritual system and how to use that spiritual system positively and avoiding negativity. But we still haven't gotten back to the same question I'm asking. Is the Zohar being correct when it says that someone who worships the stars and the constellation, it goes to Gehinnom, goes to hell, which is cleansing. But in that case, the hell is both fire and water, meaning Chesed and Gevurah of the negative system. And they never emerge again. And I asked, is that a true statement? Someone who does something for the right reasons has the best of intentions. Someone wants to help you. So they've learned some astrology. They want to help give you advice. And they go ahead and give you advice. Is it idol worship? Or is it good advice? It's the same system. It's called the spiritual system, for lack of better terminology right now. I could give you the names of the 10 Sephirot. I could give you the angels that we're talking about in those Sephirot. But ultimately, it's called the spiritual system. And the person giving you that advice is coming from a place of the best intentions. But that best of intentions may not be what is best for you at that moment in time, at that moment in your tikkun development, at that moment in your spiritual growth. And that's not to be afraid. It's not to give you fear. It's to understand the full depth of this phrase. Do the right action at the right time, in the right location, with the right kavanah, the right intention, and this is how you become righteous. And this is how your actions are righteous.
Hello?
Yes.
Getting back to what you said about the advice, what happens if someone's needing advice and they go to, let's say, a psychiatrist, but maybe he's not from, his intentions are not good or he's not on the right side? How does that play out with that? How do we know what to do about, if you need help or something?
Judy?
Uh-huh.
You can answer that question yourself.
Okay.
You go to a psychiatrist. What are psychiatrists doing today?
They're supposed to be helping people, but
Let me finish it, because I want to go back even further. Freud was a psychiatrist. He was developing the psychiatry. Who did he study with? He studied with the Baal Shem Tov. He studied the Maggid de Mezrich. The beginnings of psychiatry was positive. It was coming out of the Kabbalah. But it didn't stay there. The theories developed. They became medicines. They're giving you drugs. The drugs work, but the drugs have side effects. The drugs are shortcuts to the spiritual work that soul needs to do. Moses took drugs. Moses was involved with the incense, and it took him to a higher level, the Kohen Gadol burned the incense. It took him to a higher level. But how many of them died because they weren't ready for that higher level? Now, I'm not criticizing what 800 years of our history did. I'm understanding it. I'm learning about it. I'm knowing what's dangerous and what's not. I'm being careful so that I don't get hurt, and I hopefully do not hurt you as my students. Judy, you have the answer. Psychiatry is wonderful. Its root is very positive. It came out of Kabbalah. But who is the practitioner today? What is his motivation? Did he go into psychiatry because he wanted to help people? Or did he go into psychiatry because he wanted to sit in an office and charge $400 an hour? And maybe the psychiatrist has 30% wanting to help, or maybe he has 70% wanting to help. There's not enough psychiatrists. People who have, the word PTSD. What happened? They went to war. They went to a traumatic experience, and they're overwhelmed. They don't know how to cope. And they can go to a psychiatrist who wants to help them. And he gives them a drug that minimizes those symptoms. And if the person takes the drug but still does the spiritual work, still works on facing that fear or that overwhelming experience, and resolves it for himself in his mind, he heals himself, and he no longer needs the drug. And then the shortcut that was the therapist gave him works. If he's taking the drug and he's not being asked to do the spiritual work, he's not being asked to face his experiences, what happens? He never gets off the drugs. And eventually those side effects add up.
And becomes more suicidal at times.
Yes, that's all part of it. That's one of the side effects. It's good to learn. But you also need to know who you're learning from and what is the goal of your knowledge. What is the purpose of our learning the Zohar, of our studying today? What is our purpose is to learn from the Torah so that we will bring the Torah into our life. In our L'shem Yehud, we talk about the mitzvah of studying Torah and the mitzvah of La'asok Torah, living Torah. The goal of our Torah study is not the study in and of itself. It's to learn to live and become a living Torah. And it's not an easy process. It's not an easy step. And that's why we're going to be around here for at least 300 more years. And all of you have promised to stick around to prove me right. And Lizette, that's my joke.
Right. We'll all be there.
Yeah, we'll stick around just to see if we can prove you wrong.
Right.
Not to prove me wrong, prove me right.
Prove you right, I'm sorry.
So we're out of time, so does anybody have any quick questions?
Thank you, Hanok. Appreciate it.
Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Our next class
will continue our afternoon class with the Tomer Tavora today. And we're entering Rosh Chodesh Elul, so Kodesh Tov to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. How are you?